equals. Seven knife and hell is what it is, what it do. Since Bobby Ingram, Curtis Ennis, know that we've been loyal even when we wasn't winning. A trusted source for the news. Seven knife and hell is.
Yo, yo, ladies and gentlemen, episode 221, you guys, Scott and Flows, we are back. If you are listening to this on Patreon, happy weekend, happy Saturday. Hope you're enjoying this Saturday. I don't know what the weather's like in Chicago, but it's pretty decent out here in Los Angeles this weekend.
70 degrees, cloudy.
That's pretty good for Chicago.
The cloudy part kind of annoys, but you know. But it's still warm. 70 degrees, and it seems like tomorrow's going to be 80, so I know the grill's coming out tomorrow.
The Bluetooth's coming out.
Exactly. I think it's going to be having the sandals out, so yeah. It's going to be a good weekend.
And if you are listening to this on the free feed, happy Monday. And we try to get you through your first work day of the week. We are here, Scott and Flows. You know to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barbershare Scott, at Flows and Delaney. Follow the Barbershare Network at Barbershare.
Perhaps we shouldn't be telling you all what a follow is when you look on our screen. You know,
some people might not be watching the video. Some people might not be watching the video.
That's true.
So, before I was interrupted, follow the Barbershare Network at Barbershare Net on Twitter. And
I'm only letting Scott intro us right now. I don't know why he acting like
I intro my show. Us on every episode.
Do you?
Yes, I do.
I'm not sure.
And then, also, if you want to hear these episodes early, subscribe to Patreon, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. During the season, I'm going to upload the episodes right away after the game on the Patreon. And if you don't subscribe to Patreon, you get on Monday morning like usual. So subscribe, patreon.com/Barbershare Network. Visit the bcnet.com. We are on Negro time. And what I mean by that, or in the words of that Oakland A's announcer, we had a phenomenal day.
Nigger league, and the dude aside was like hitting the Matthew McConaughey Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, Dallas Braden hit him with the
nigger league.
So we are supposed to
color town, the cool state play. Like, bro, that boy better be fired. I don't understand. Like, it can't be worse than this.
Yeah, I want to see if Nick Castellanos is a home run. That's going to be really interesting to see what happens.
They fired the other boy for saying the F word. Like, first of all, he was just crazy. We're going to F town. I was like, oh. This nigga said this. Just straight up said it. Went to nigger league. How does that even?
Everybody's what? Like, oh, it's a slip. No, it don't slip. Only words that slip
Negro,
are words.
Negro, nigger.
As a nigga to say nigga, as a nigga to say nigga all the time, nigger never slips.
No.
Ever.
No. I say nigga vehemently. I say it constantly, and I have never slipped and said nigger.
Never. Not one time. So, in true black fashion, everybody did their draft recaps last weekend, but we are here to give you a draft recap a week later, because that's just how we do. Well, the real story was last week, we were so fucking tired. Like, we running around. Tired, bro. Draft, you know, Joe was doing a lot of driving.
A lot of driving. I was doing all of the driving.
which happens all the time. Not only did we do that, after coming into Chicago from that 8-hour drive from Kansas City, Chicago, I was able to sleep like 4 hours. Then I had to be at O'Hare Airport at 4 a.m. in the fucking morning to get on a cross-country 4-hour flight. Not only was it a cross-country flight, fuck American Airlines for fucking my seat up because they said I didn't check in, which I did. I checked in the hotel when I was in Kansas City. And not only that, if I didn't check in, they wouldn't have given me a ticket for my, you know, what's it called, the thing you put on your bag. And I had my seat. So when I get up there, they check. He's like, oh, well, your boarding pass has been up there because you didn't check in. So instead of having my comfortable aisle seat, these niggas put me in the seat where it's like by the window, not by the window, but like by the exit, the
emergency exit seat.
The emergency exit seat in the middle, in between two fat white dudes, and three fat dudes all in one row. The only
three fat dudes in one row. As a fat person, as a member of the fat community,
don't do that to us.
You gotta be if you're a what are they called? Flight attendant. You gotta be able to say, this isn't gonna work. I'm going to need some skinny people moved in here.
And the only positive
big
thing
going to be sitting like this.
That's exactly what we were fighting for, arm room on the fucking shit.
You know, you and fat, like when you got to sit like this.
And then the worst thing was, the only good thing was I had leg room, but it was terrible. I didn't have really anywhere to sit my iPad so I could watch Snowfall. So when I got to Los Angeles, I was pretty fucking tired. We have a lot of stuff. He has a full-time job. I have a side gig that I'm doing along barbecue. We just didn't have the time. So we are here to talk about day two and day three of the NFL draft for the Bears. And I have up the draft picks right here. The Bears made 10 draft selections. They had two actual trade that they did during the 3 days of the draft. And in this time that this has happened, rookie minicamp has begun. So all the rooks have all already reported to Hallis Hall. But one thing that I love so far is what we're seeing is that a lot of rooks said that Justin Fields all reached out to them as soon as they were drafted. And I know as people's like, oh, this little shit. But no, it's little shit, but it's big shit when you have your best player being the leader of the team and just reaching out to these guys and getting them on track right away. And even when you see some of this with the mini camp going on, there was a lot of vets who were there this week. We saw Justin reporting it. We said DJ Moore was there. Jaquan Briscoe was there. Tevin Jenkins was getting in work. So you're really just seeing guys really getting to it. Luke Getsy had a press conference today. Now, of course, press conference quotes are press conference quotes. But what he said today, he said Justin Fields is light years ahead of where he was when the season ended right now, which is good things you want to hear. Now, of course, it's fucking May. None of this matters till he actually plays.
At the same time, you don't. It's just like I covered the Matt Nagy era just about the last two years of it. And I have seen and heard things from them after players and how people improve. Never heard about Mr. Trubisky. Never heard one time Mr. Trubisky is leaps and bounds. Mr. Trubisky is ahead of the curve. It's typically all, you know, he's picking up some things, he's proving some things. But to hear someone say that they're doing leaps and bounds, we just can't really, what's the word, understate how important it is.
Exactly. So it's just good to hear that from your offensive coordinator and to see the work that Justin's been putting in. And Justin has a full offensive, you know, set to work with now. And we'll talk about that later in the pod. But we broke down our thoughts on Darnell Wright in episode 220. So if you want to go check that out, you can go check that out. We recorded that right from my hotel room after night one. So I'm going to just name off the picks that we got. Then we're going to go over which ones.
First one, Gervon Dexter. Defensive lineman, University of Florida.
You see, I just like to cut me off, folks. I'm trying to do this in an orderly fashion.
Let's just—we ain't got to name them off. We just go one by one.
That's what I was going to do. That's literally what I was going to do. Go ahead. Floor is yours.
Gervon Dexter, defensive lineman, University of Florida, pick 53. What are your thoughts?
Well, from a lot of people who are Gator fans, they said, I saw a couple saw they thought it was a stretch, but they feel like this guy has the potential to be bigger and take advantage of the opportunity. To me, I don't know much about him, not going to lie, but one thing I do like that he is a defensive lineman, and we know the trenches is something that the Bears lacked heavily in this season, both on offensive side of the ball and the defensive side of the ball. And what we saw through this entire draft, there was a lot of defenders, a lot of defensive line guys drafted. And from looking at the tape, he looks like a guy, just a big dude. He has a little bit of speed. He probably needs to be able a little faster, you know, off the line of scrimmage. But that's stuff that you can work on when you get into the NFL and get into NFL training regimens and things like that. But from what I saw, I think this is a nice, you know, guy to bring in. And I think this really puts the clock on a lot of the older guys on the defensive line. So I like this draft pick.
Yeah. He's a three technique. And you want, first of all, the Bears need a three tech. The Bears need every technique on the line. I don't think there's any specific spot on the Bears defensive line that I think is filled. So I'm trying to get dust on my computer, but I don't think there's any specific spot that on the Bears defensive line that I was like, we're good there. You know, they're good there. Nothing else is needed. And the Bears should just look for another spot. Gervon Dexter has the size. And I think that's probably what the biggest thing they drafted him is. They like what happens when they spoke to him. They like what happened when they saw his tape and what he did. That being said, I say he is a really, really raw talent. He's a raw talent. There is a lot there in terms of speed, sheer speed. He's great. I mean, the dude is freaking 6'6", like 310 pounds. And at that frame, he can move at a 4'8", which is ridiculous. It's ridiculous for that size.
Yeah.
That being said, off the ball, I don't think he's the quickest or most explosive. But what you're probably going to use him is to fill a gap. That's just to make sure he can fill a gap, destroy a gap, because at the end of the day, the biggest thing the Bears need is someone who is going to clog up a lane so a running back doesn't get in there. Because right now, who do you have on the line that I think is at least okay is Justin Jones?
Justin Jones. That's the only one.
That's literally it. So he may find himself opposite of Justin Jones. He may find himself backing up Justin Jones. It depends on how the rest of the Bears draft picks fill out. Because in the end, I also believe they got Zach Pickens, Carolina. Zach Pickens, I'm a little bit higher on because I expected Dexter to go to on the third round. He was one of the few people who I looked up briefly. It's hard to being a scout, and that's why media analysts, journalists, they listen to their scouts, those who cover it, because it's hard to cover and listen to watch every single player. It's just impossible. If you hear somebody saying, "Oh yeah, I've watched all these people," no, you haven't.
You're lying. You either lying or you need to get out the fucking house. One of the two.
Exactly. But what you probably will look at is the first two the projections of the first 2 days of draft. Round one, rounds two, rounds three. That's probably what you're going to pay attention to. And Dexter got a little bit of attention from me, just a little bit. And I think he could be useful. I feel like I'm more high on Zach Pickens than I am on Dexter. And I feel like Dexter, we'll see. I just think Justin Jones was by himself most of the time. But Justin Jones is not a superstar enough or a superstar period where he can be Aaron Donald and still get through. At the end of the day, if Aaron Donald's on the line by himself with everybody else in his trash, he ain't going to get through either. So I think he's a solid pick. I wouldn't be shocked if Zach Pickens was on the other side and Justin Jones was, and Dexter was backing up Justin Jones.
Yeah, that's
my immediate thoughts.
That's what I was thinking about too. And just looking at Zach Pickens' film, like that dude is very quick. You know, he's a big ass dude. And then, like you just said, with Justin Jones, I think did decent for what the situation was last year. And if you bring in young guys who have talent, and that's just gonna make him be better. And then, of course, him being a vet, he can help them out. But I think, Pickens is also 3-tech. And I think that's something we've seen consistently in this draft. That's something that Eberflus is big on. And, you know, the hits principle is all about your 3-tech guys. So them going a couple of these guys in this draft, I think, is something that's good.
3-tech, Nick, everybody, outside shoulder of the guard. Outside shoulder of the guard.
I'm glad that you broke that down.
It's just literally you have a number because you have the gaps. You have the center, A gap, B gap, C gap. So the A gap will be literally the center of the guard, in between the center and the guards. Sorry. A gap. What comes after that? B gap. What comes after that? C gap. But then there's also the shouldering of everybody. You have, if you're a 3-tech, so what? You have the 1, 2, 3. What would be the 3? It would be the outside of the guard shoulder. And then you literally go on from that. And so the 3-technique, like outside, it lines up outside of the guard's shoulder. And this is a 4-3 defense. You should know what a 4-3 is if you've been listening to 79th and Hollis. If you don't,
football.
Four down linemen, three linebackers.
Three linebackers.
Four down linemen, three linebackers. Down just literally means hand on the ground.
Ground. And let's talk about Tyree Stevenson, man. We can throw his name on the
way ahead of you, brother.
Oh, see, he's prepared with the graphics today. Tyree Stevenson, this is probably if I had to rank my favorite picks, it would be Darnell Wright, definitely number one. Tyree Stevenson is a number two, man. This is a guy who was really good in Miami. A guy who can come in and be that number two cornerback and honestly put Kyler Gordon in a situation I think fits better for him instead of being the everyday number two, putting him in the nickel. You know what I'm saying? That's pretty much the best place for him. We saw him play better last year. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to start right away, but this does mean no more Kendall Vildor, which is something that if you're a Bears fan, you should be very fucking happy about. That was the weak link in this defense in the secondary last year. And when he's surrounded by dogs like a Jalen Johnson, and I saw some Bears fans, and this is something that, you know, Bears fans, I don't think we're used to having talent, because I saw people say, well, Tyreek Stevenson's being drafted and Tyler Scott being drafted means that's the end of Jalen Johnson and either Chase Claypool or Darnell Mooney. No, maybe it just means you're just trying to get as many great players on your team as possible. You know, so that's why I think more. Now, is it an insurance policy too? If one of those don't work out or contract negotiations don't work out, sure, but I don't think that automatically signals the end of them. I think Jalen Johnson is one of the best corners in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're building around him, you got Eddie Jackson, who's going to be coming back off injury. You got Jaquan Brisker in the second year, Kyler Gordon second year. Now you add a guy like Tyreek Stevenson, who can intercept the ball. He's not a guy who doesn't get turnovers. He gets into turnovers, but he's very physical with wide receivers. He hits big, and I think this is exactly what the Bears are looking for in this scheme. And then the secondary is probably the strongest group out of this entire team.
Yeah. I for sure do not necessarily think that drafting Stevenson means this is the end of Jalen Johnson or any other corner. I still think Jalen Johnson's spot is secure, is that number one corner. He's one of the best, literally, on-ball defender would be NFL, but man-on-man defenders in the NFL. He has guarded the best of the league, and he has held his own. He creates opportunities with his ability to cover, so I don't see that. At the same time, I know the NFL is a business, and unfortunately, when it comes to situations with contracts, you have to deal with the fact that NFL teams are business. And so they'll say, okay, we have to get somebody to make sure in case this spot is gone, we have quality that's filled. So I can understand it being an insurance policy in the back of their minds when they selected him. But I still think Jalen is fine. But having him opposite of Jalen and having the nickel be played by Kyler Gordon is fine. I think Kyler Gordon played better in the nickel than he did as that number two on the opposite side of Jalen Johnson. So, yeah, my overall take on him is I think he's a big cornerback. He's 6 feet, just under 200 pounds. Let me look that up. He is 198. So, he's 198. And I really think that his skill or his talent – is man. You know, man coverage seems to be one of his greatest assets, is having a man to play with and having to stick with that person. He's quick. He's a 4-4 guy. So he's quick on, he's fast on his feet as well. And I think the Bears could definitely use that size, that frame, and that speed to cover. And I just think their strength, obviously, is their backfield, the defensive backfield. And I think he's a good fit. I think he's a value pick, somebody that could have gone higher than where he already was. And I think the Bears should be happy that they have him. Absolutely, ecstatic that the Bears got him.
Definitely, man. I'm going to talk a little running game here, which is something that the Chicago Bears franchise specializes in. The Bears took a running back.
Oh, you're missing Zach Pickens. He came right after Tyreek Stevenson.
I thought we talked about Zach.
You want to talk about Zach? We didn't talk about Zach Pickens, really. We just mentioned Zach.
Okay, well, let's get into Zach Pickens.
Zach Pickens is the person that I think will end up being the starter outside of Justin Jones. He is 6'4", like 290.
That's a big dude, man.
6'4", like 290. Another dude running a freaking 4.8, which is ridiculous. He has really, really good balance. I love the way he is quick on his feet. His footwork is probably one of his best additions. He knows how to separate when he has that. Probably the only thing you might want to work on him is maybe get a little more strength out of him. But I really, really like him. It's another person who I thought could have gone earlier than where he was. Because you look at Zach Pickens was 64, so round three. What is that, the beginning of round three? Something like that. So I'm really, 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 really happy with the pick of Zach Pickens. I think he's going to be an outstanding player. It's one of those players that when I saw, I said, he's going to be really, really, really good. And so I'm happy the Bears got him. I think he is the starter for the defense. Now, of course, I'm sure Gavon Dexter, having been drafted as high as he was, will be looked at upon as you're going to be the person who's going to take that spot. But I think throughout minicamp and training camp, you might see him emerge as that person opposite of Justin Jones.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. He's big, he's fast, and, you know, it's all about the trenches, in the words of Marcus Spears. And one thing I love is that one thing we're seeing, my man Poe's getting a lot of SEC guys. which is, you know, arguably the best conference in college football. A lot of these guys, but we know you.
I ain't gonna say the big. No, I ain't gonna say Big Ten either.
Big Ten guy.
The SEC has been only Bama for a long time. Obviously, now with the back-to-back defending champs, it's Georgia now. Even though Georgia, you're not about to win another championship, but whatever. You lost. You lost the niggas who made you you, and you don't have the pipeline you think you do. But whatever, that's fine. I do think that SEC is the best conference, but it's been a little bit too much dip on the chip. It's been Bama. It was Bama for the longest.
It's been a lot of NFL ready players come from
the SEC. Most of the niggas who come in NFL ain't from the SEC. Let's get it correct. This past year and the year before, we've seen a lot of a flooding of these players. But the best players at the position, do quarterbacks come from SEC? No. Do linebackers come from SEC? No. Do corners come from SEC? The best thing that you see from the SEC is defensive linemen. Defensive linemen seem to be a premium in the SEC. And that's what's happening again.
That really helps my case because we're talking about a defensive lineman in Zach Pickens. But, yeah, he's a big dude. He's fast. I think this is something that's going to help more than anything. The Bears need speed. You know what I'm saying? Because we all know edge is still a problem. Edge is either something that they're going to draft. Did not get solved. They did not draft a DN at all. Now, there's still 3 to 4 vet defensive ends available. There's been no free agent signings from anywhere in the NFL since the draft ended. So, though, I think those will get signed close we get to training camp. You know, Poles, he's a poker player. He's going to wait till the last minute. So, they might get one of those vets, or that might just be a hole on this team that they'll address next year. You know what I'm saying? Yep. So, one thing that I know Bears fans want everything done right away. But as Ryan Poles said, things aren't going to happen right away. You think about where the Bears took the number one pick. The Bears took the number one pick and turned it into a number one wide receiver, a starting right tackle, and second rounders that are helping you build up your young defensive line. That is an amazing trade right there.
It's a good trade for both parties.
Yeah, 100%.
People said, oh, man, they fleeced the Panthers. I'm like, no, they didn't.
No, we didn't. Even though we had a little spat with Panther fans this week on Twitter. Because I said the pick was going to be top five. And let's be very clear, it is still going to be top five.
It was a 10-side on Twitter, which is one of the funniest followers I have.
Yeah, he's funny. Shout out to him. Yeah.
I love that dude's content. And I didn't know he was a Panthers fan until now.
I didn't know Panther fans were on Twitter.
but I will say you all are going to be – you're going to be top five. You're going to be bottom five in the league. Yeah. Simply because, yes, you have a good defense. The problem is that you have nothing on offense.
Yeah. You lost your two best weapons.
Yeah.
Bears?
You said, you know, in terms of defensive line, you don't have a top 10 line on it. You have a middle of the road line. You're about a 13, 14, 15 ranked offensive line. A solid offensive line, better than what the Bears were, even though the stats that say the Bears were doing great is cap. You have a rookie QB who's trying to learn the game. You all will win about 5 games, which will place you bottom 5. Typically, what was
QB it? Who's my height?
Exactly. So I'm not too sure. I'm pretty sure the Bears, if it's not 5, it's going to be 6 or 7 pick. Enough to get the Bears right back into a spot where they can either draft a defense, probably draft an edge rusher.
An edge rusher or Marvin Harrison Jr., which is what we all want. Depending on how the receiving core goes, the receiving core might be lights out, and we don't need that nigga. So we don't know. We'll see. But now we can get into running game, which is something that the Chicago Bears franchise does very well. There's two things that I'm not worried about this franchise drafting: running backs and linebackers. So the Bears took their fifth pick of the draft, round 4, pick 115. Roschon Johnson, running back from the University of Texas. He was backup for Bijan Robinson. This is a guy who almost every draft analyst have said that he would have went higher if he was not starting, if he was not coming off the bench for Bijan and was playing in another team. This guy who has a lot of fresh miles on him. This is a guy last year who had 554 yards, had 6 touchdowns, and he's had at least 6 touchdowns in all 4 of his years at Texas. This is a guy who Bijan Robinson himself said, you know, this guy is just as good as me. He actually called him a god. It was the actual phrasing that he used. One thing I love about him, he's a dude, man, who he really has speed. but he's also got like a powerful running style. And like, obviously, I'm not comparing anybody to the best run back in the game, which is Derrick Henry, but he has a Derrick Henry type of aggressive style. He breaks a lot of tight tackles, creates a lot of yardage. And the biggest thing here, he's great in pass protection, and he has only one career fumble, which is massive. I love this pick. This league goes to a running back room to a lot of people. I know a lot of people love David Montgomery. Shit, we love David Montgomery. Demo has been one of the coolest guys that I've had the opportunity to interview since I've been in this media space. But they've really rebuilt that room. Now you've got Khalil Herbert coming off the Dante Freeman coming from Carolina off the big year he had. And now you've got Roshan, who I feel like, if not breaking camp is on running back number one, he will be running back number one by the first minute of the first quarter of the season. I'm that high on this guy. And this is something where you add Justin. Now Justin's legs become a luxury. Last year they were a necessity, because he had no fucking choice, because he was throwing the Mariano's baggers and his offensive line was killing him 100 times a game. So now with this running back core and with these wide receivers, now his legs become a luxury, and you can just add that. This is going to be such a loaded room that one of these running backs are not going to be active on game days. You're not going to have three active running backs. So it's really going to be a good competition, man, and I'm excited to see how this is going to pan out. But I love this pick.
I got a chance to watch him a little bit. During his run at Texas, and he just had the unfortunate issue of coming behind a generational back. And that's not his fault. A generational back in Bijan. And I mean, what are you going to do? Kind of reminds me of the situation where who was behind Reggie Bush at USC?
Lindell White.
Solid runner. Had like a 6-year, 7-year NFL career.
Chauncey Billups' cousin, which is a random fun fact.
Had a solid NFL career, really useful at the goal line, and he has some solid pass blocking. And it reminds me of the situation where if Reggie Bush wasn't there, yeah, he probably would have started. So I'm high on the pick. I'm not sure if I'm as high as Scott, you know, when it comes to saying, oh, he's going to start. I don't know. I don't think so. But I have a lot of backs.
Who do you think is going to start right now?
Probably
Freeman.
No, I'm still going with
you. You think Khalil going to start?
I'm still thinking Khalil Herbert going to start. Khalil Herbert's biggest issue, however, is pass blocking. But Khalil Herbert knows how to catch. Khalil Herbert knows how to run. And I'm pretty sure the spot is his until everything starts and everybody's actually at camp.
Well, Luke Getsy said today in his press conference, there are no solidified spots and there will be equal opportunity for all three backs to see who's going to be number one. He says it's going to be a lot of competition. He's looking forward to it. That was his exact quote from this morning's press conference. So, granted, these are make comments, and we don't know when camp starts. Niggas might have great camps and look better than anybody else. We don't know.
True. My assumption is that it's not a his to lose situation, because he definitely didn't earn
100%.
That.
Yeah.
He didn't earn it. I thought he was weak or nothing, but he hasn't done anything to earn that. But I'm assuming it's his for right now, or that he has the edge.
Yeah. Let's get to the next pick. Pick six, wide receiver, man. Remember last year we were begging for Ryan Poles to draft a fucking receiver, but he drafted one here, Tyler Scott, wide receiver from Cincinnati, round 4, pick 133. This guy is fast as shit. This is the guy you need. You know what I'm saying? I really, really like this pick too. This is a guy that fits in with what this wide receiving core does. Now you've got a guy who joined on with DJ Moore, Chase Claypool, Darnell Mooney. He can slot right in there, right there, and make big plays since all the defense is focused on those three guys. And I just need, you need speed. I'm all for speed. I think what you got his 40 time. Was it like a
4.4?
4.40 he ran, which is great. You need that. You need that. And that's just something that he's a guy who can go deep. He can take the top off of defense, which is something that the Bears really, really need. And you got Cup. DJ Moore can do that shit. Darnell can do that shit. You know what I'm saying? But there's so many options now for Justin. And to me, he comes into a wide receiver room, but now there's not so much pressure on him because he's got veterans here. And I do feel like this is just going to up the competition, especially for guys like Chase Claypool and Darnell Mooney, who we both agree are fighting for a contract. you know what I'm saying? I don't think both of these guys will be Bears next year. I think whoever has the best year will get the money. The other one's going to be on another team.
Yeah.
But this just adds into it. And we went from last year, god-awful wide receiver room. Like, terrible. They're just god-awful. to, you know, we were talking about what Velus Jones could do, what Dante Patterson do. Those dudes might not even be active on game day. They'll be special teamers. I think there's a spot for EQ and Velus, and I think they're going to give Velus as many chances as possible, especially since he ended the season pretty well last year. But I love Tyler Scott, man. I love what he brings to this offense.
Yeah, no, I definitely think he's a speedy back, a person who can catch a slant and go the distance. He has slot written all over him. Small frame, but able to really control his own body to get himself some yards. I like the pick. I really like the pick. And I think one thing is when it comes to wide receivers, if you have a bona fide number one, and you have a plethora of wide receivers, you're like, I'm not sure who's going to start out of them. It's good. It allows for you to have a competition, and people have to not fight to the death, but fight tooth and nail to solidify their spot. And I think that's a plus for any team, and it's a plus for the Bears. And I'm assuming Tyler Scott maybe gets in in a 3 or 4 spot, just because of his ability. It puts much more pressure on Velus Jones because they drafted Velus Jones to do the same thing. The person that catches that slant, the person that's speedy. I will say Tyler Scott looks on film faster than that 4.4. 4.4 is good. You want a 4.4 for a speedy receiver. 4.3 is great. 4.2 is inhuman. I really think it's a good pick. Really, really good pick. Person, I think he's probably the last of the picks that I say has a chance to get starting rotation. Yeah. Everybody else on the list, I think, is just
like depth. Yeah. I think also, by the way, DJ Moore is the actual number one. I see a lot of bullshit on Twitter. And you know why this? They only saying that because he's a Bear. You know how this shit go. Yeah. When he was a Panther, everybody named mama wanted him. He's a one. Look what he did with this guy and this guy. Now he's a Bear. Do we really know he's a one? Y'all wasn't kissing AJ Brown ass till he got to the Eagles. Stop the fucking bullshit. This is really what it come down to, man. Y'all, you can't fool a real nigga. You can fool them. He's another one, man. But let's get into some of these depth draft pieces here, man. We're going to start with, I think I pronounced his name right, Noah Sewell. That's how you pronounce his name? Noah Sewell, University of Oregon, round 5, pick 148. He's a brother of Detroit Lions offensive lineman, Penei Sewell. I think it's a good depth piece. You know, linebacking core is pretty stacked right now, which is way better than it was last year. Do you think he's competition for our man Sanborn?
Sanborn really came out the gate. Sanborn had a great preseason.
Yeah.
And that propelled him to be a backup. And then injuries propelled him to the starting role. And as the starting role, he held his own. He recognized he was very good. And so right now he has a chance to claim that spot for himself. He has not claimed it yet. And I'm not sure Noah Sewell will take it from him. But I'm sure there will be a little bit of competition or a little bit of, I'm going to check this guy out and see what he can do. I'm not expecting him to start. I'm expecting Sanborn to start. But I do think Noah Sewell presents an opportunity for the Bears and for just the linebacking core in general. He's really, I think his biggest thing is he has an NFL size for a linebacker. That's not really shocking, considering his brother is, and I mean, his brother is just athletic and big. And so I'm not really shocked. You know, he is Samoan. And if it's one thing about Pacific Islanders, they are some of the most athletically gifted and big humans on earth. It's like what black folks are gifted with. We are gifted with speed, with quickness. God saw fit to give Pacific Islanders with both, with speed, quickness, and size. Yeah. So I'm looking forward to see what he does. But knowing his drive, and I mean, he started at Oregon all 3 years he was there. And that says a lot about a player's character when you can come in as a freshman and a sophomore, junior. All 3 of those years, you're starting on that team. That's a plus for him, and so I'm excited to see what he can do. He's probably the last one that I consider for a start. Period.
I don't know much about dude.
Considered for a chance to try for a start.
Chance to start. I don't know much about dude. I'm not gonna lie. I'm not gonna sit up here and act like I know. I don't know. I just know about his brother. So I'm just gonna go off what you said. But we have a little bit of breaking news here. We're over here talking about depth. This comes from NFL Network's Tom Pelissero and Ian Rappaport. The Bears are signing veteran tight end Steven Carlson to a 1-year contract. Former Browns tight end worked out of Chicago's minicamp this weekend. So I don't really know who that guy is, but there's more depth, which is something that Mr. Ryan Poles likes. So let's go on to our next depth pick here. Another defensive back here, Terrell Smith, cornerback from the University of Minnesota. This guy too, he looks like he's another hard hitting corner. He looks a little smaller than Tyrique Stevens. I could be wrong, but he looked like he was smaller. More DBs the better. And it's more competition the better. That's really where I got from this. I don't know much about him. What do you know about Terrell Smith?
Not much. I won't act like I do. I think his production spoke more than anything.
Yeah.
And I think out of the production, they assume that they can get something out of him depth-wise. I saw a lot of people who were really high on him. I mean, I don't watch Minnesota football. Why would I? I don't care about anything Minnesota-wise.
I have a little more things better to do with my time.
Is Minnesota even in the freaking Big Ten? I don't know. I literally do not pay attention to them to know. I can literally only go off if I were looking like at his draft profile to see who he is and how well he does. So I don't know. But I'm guessing just of what I've heard that he will be a backup, somebody who might get in the rotation, maybe if you're running nickel or if you're running dime. That as far as I know. I won't even act like I know.
We're not going to cap on this show.
Well, the only thing I could do is act like I know is I look up his draft profile and say, yeah, he has. Well, yeah,
what they say about him.
I don't know.
Well, this next guy got a lot of love from Ryan Poles in his post-draft press conference. He's got a lot of love from, big draft heads and Bears Twitter. Travis Bell, defensive lineman from Kennesaw State University, which is Kennesaw, the home of Justin Fields. They say this guy, he's a guy who he might not make impact right away, but they really, really believe in his future and think that he can be one of the best defensive linemen on this team. And so it kind of feels like he's a guy with a lot of potential who is kind of like a work in progress and maybe a little project defensive lineman here.
Yeah, I'm literally watching his highlight tape. So I'm not even going to even sit here and act like I know what's going on with him. But it seems like the biggest issue that is probably his the competition that he played.
Yeah.
That's probably literally the only thing that you're worried about is the competition play. Who has he been playing? And does he have the ability to play against the best of the best? And I think that's a tough thing to say because Tennessee State was Big South, which would be FCS, which is Sub Bowl, which is what we used to call Division I AA. And from his highlight tape, literally just watching him, he is very quick off the ball, and it seems he was dominating the people around him. But at the same time, can he do that on a higher level? And I don't know. But one thing about the last round picks, especially from those who come from universities that are not FBS and not the top of the food chain, they have a chip on their shoulders and they tend to play with that passion because they wanted to go to the league and that they fought to get to where their positions are. And they weren't people who were just out the gate like, we want this guy. So I'm intrigued to see what he does. He has an opportunity to come in and be – If he's not barely getting in on a team, he can find himself maybe getting practice squad minutes. I don't know. But I'm intrigued to see what he does. He just seems like to be – it's project. Yeah. What can you do with him? I'm intrigued to see what happens with him.
Definitely, man. Now, the last pick of the NFL draft for the Chicago Bears is Kendall Williamson, another defensive back, from Stanford University. I don't know anything about him. I don't know any scouting reports. I know nothing of this guy. So I'm just going to say, welcome to Chicago. Welcome to the NFL. I wish you nothing but the best. I know nothing. I don't even have a draft report for you.
Yeah, I have no clue what to tell you.
So that's all we got for you on that. But let's get to a couple of things before we get up out of here, man. Everybody knows this season, as it always is, it's about Mr. Justin Fields. Justin Fields stepping into year three, his second year as a full-time starter. questioning everybody went on last year. It was like it was really hard to evaluate Justin because of how bad the offensive line was, how bad the wide receiver core was. Do you think that Justin Fields finally has enough around him to fully evaluate him this year? And by before you answer that, Bears fans, remember last year we used a grade on a curve. Ain't none of that shit this year.
No.
Show and prove. I love Justin to death, but it's show and prove time. What do you think?
Well, you just answered the question. It's show and prove time. You have a legit number one in DJ Moore. Now Chase Claypool does not have to focus himself on being the top wide receiver. He can be what he was before, which is the number two. And that takes pressure off him, and now he can get those jump ball passes. He can get those catches on the sideline. He can make a tough catch over the middle. Darnell Mooney has a chance to be the same. You know, he doesn't have the pressure to be a number one or that comes with the double teams or anything. And so – and now Justin Fields has a plethora of running backs behind him where he does not have to worry about being the sole rusher. I hope he doesn't get anywhere near 1,000 yards. I think good for him is 400 yards. Yeah. 400, 450 max would be good for him. So I think, no, now it's you absolutely have to, and I'm more great on the curve, you absolutely have to make a decision based on what you see from him. And I think he gets even better this year. I think you start seeing the rhythm passes coming out more. I think you start seeing him being more comfortable in the pocket, not willing to have to take off. I think you start to see him trust his receivers. He starts to throw those balls in the bucket. He starts to show you who he was in college. I mean, you saw a glimpse of it last year, so I'm not like he wasn't doing it. I truly believe this will be the year that he takes off. And for him to take off, stat-wise, what I would like to see from him is 3,000 yards passing. That's the bottom for what considers to be a good quarterback. And I want to see 25 passing touchdowns.
Yeah.
25 passing touchdowns. 10 are interceptions now are becoming very common. And so, you know, you're not
getting – I got a rule. As long as it's not more than 15, I don't care.
You know what I'm saying? You're not getting – I mean, even freaking Aaron Rodgers are starting to throw – 10 picks again. Pat Mahomes had two seasons where he threw under. He went right to 12 plus picks. You're going to throw picks. And 12 or less than 12 is fine. Really it's fine for me.
Yeah.
Justin Fields last year, I think, threw 11 picks. Probably would have had himself 20 passing touchdowns had it not been a few drops.
Yeah.
Some few horrible drops.
Horrible
drops.
What
I want to see from him, however, is much more throwing. So I was like, he really improved in every aspect of on just basic stats, because I hate advanced stats, it's stupid. But if you're looking just at basic stats, he improved his quarterback rating, he improved his yards, he improved his touchdowns and his interceptions. His interceptions went about one. But what I do want to see is much more passing. I want to see him get about 180, 190 yards, 200 yards passing per game, because I know it's still a filling out process. But remember when he was at Ohio State, he threw for, I want to say, 3,300 yards that year that he was considered for the Heisman. I want him to do that same thing. I want him to double check. I'm literally looking 3,273, 67% completion, 354 attempts. This is and 41 touchdowns, three picks. It was ridiculous. It was ridiculous how good he was doing. And that's the 2019 year. So I want the same thing from that. I want the same thing from him. That's 14 games played. And if you add in the three additional games in NFL plays, he should be able to get 3,300 plus yards passing. So no, I'm expecting big things from Justin Fields. I'm expecting him to be the player who I think he is and can be. And it's just, it's no more curve grade.
Yeah, I'm with you. No more curve grading. I think this is going to be a big year for Justin.
Joe Burrow threw 5,600 yards his last year at LSU. God.
Bro, it's ridiculous.
60 touchdowns.
It's ridiculous. Because he had like a fucking all-star wide receiving cast.
Yeah.
Core. But
came into the league, all-star wide receiver core.
100%. I think this is going to be a great year for Justin. He's I think year three. That. Okay, we get it.
3 years Ohio State. 3 years Ohio State.
Okay, we get it. Can I fucking finish? Thank you. Yes, I think this would be a great year for Justin. Like I said, we're not grading him on a curve. You're not going to hear us come on this podcast all next season tomorrow. Well, if he completed this, no, you got to do it or you don't do it. Let's put up a fucking shut up time. This division is yours for the taking, my guy. The Big Bad 12 is no longer here. Your rivals are dudes who are, you look up mediocre in a dictionary, you're going to see pictures of Matthew Stafford. Not Matthew Stafford. I said Matthew Stafford. Kirk Cousins. Again, he's not there. Kirk Cousins and Jared Goff. You look up mediocre in the dictionary, you're going to see two pictures of them dudes. Those are your biggest competition. So this is his time. It's time for him to do it. Like in the words of Mike Weber, nobody believes in you. What are you going
to
do
about it? What did Hendon Hooker? Hendon Hooker went to the Lions?
He went to the Lions. He's still recovering from an ACL, so he will not be even thought about playing this year. But
he has plenty of time to play this year.
Well, unless Goff gets hit by a fucking train. I just don't see that happening this year. But I think it's going to be a good year for him. I'm not going to say this wide receiver core is great, but it's enough. It's enough for you to be able to see what you can, you know, what you have in this guy. And I think this is a big year for him. He knows that. And I'm just really excited. I think we're going to see a big jump from him. And, you know, I think a lot of people, we talk about the holes on this team, but you can say that about every team in the NFL. The way the NFL, this is how you win in a Super Bowl in the NFL now. Great offense and just a cool defense. Like, you know, if your defense can make timely stops, that's how you win championships. It's not about the lockdown defenses anymore. So look at what the Packers did for years. They had tons of holes, but Aaron was so goddamn great that he covered those holes. And I think that if Justin can be great, it can cover a lot of holes just because the Bears are going to be putting up 30 or 35 points a fucking week. And we saw the potential of that being there. The Bears put up, 30 points a week for 6 weeks last year in that span where Justin took off. And that's going to be even better chance of doing that this year. So I'm really excited to see that. I think it's put up a shut-up time. But you know Justin, of course, he's Buckeye. He going to be ready. If there's anything this dude is going to be, he's gonna be ready. He's been in Chicago majority of the offseason. He's been working. And I'm just really excited to see this kid every week, you know, taking it to another level. We're about to, Bears fans, we're about to get ready to witness something we've never seen as Bears fans. And I really want you guys to just soak it all in and just enjoy what it feels like to, looks like potentially have a franchise quarterback. I'm going to enjoy the hell out of this. So
my prediction, 3,800 yards, 30 touchdowns, 11 interceptions, 600 yards rushing, MVP candidate.
I think that's a fair assessment. I mean, looking at NFC, who's his real competition? Jalen Hurts is it.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is the best quarterback in that conference by a large amount.
I'm sorry, Eagles fans. Justin Fields can throw
way so better. Much better. It's not even close.
It's not even remotely close, to be honest with you. Jalen Hurts can throw far, but when it comes to the velocity, the speed, fitting passes in, I don't think it's close. Better quarterback? It's Jalen Hurts.
It's Jalen Hurts right now. Right now. Easily. Right now.
But this year, MVP candidate, and I think he's going to take a big leap because unlike Jalen Hurts, which I did not think I saw it in college, I was like, this nigga's never going to start.
I didn't see shit from him in college.
And then he came out and was in. And then last year, good system, patience. That patience and his confidence is where I think he soared. And he started to throw it. Justin Fields has the confidence. Now he needs the patience.
Yeah.
And because one thing I love about Jalen Hurts is when he's in the pocket, he's at home. Yep. I never see him.
He has an amazing fucking offensive line.
Even still, when he's rushed, I never feel like he's getting on the line. He's like, he's just, all right, I need to make a move. Let me make a move. And that's what Justin needs to develop patience. So,
yeah. All right, so I'm looking forward to that. So last thing, as we wrap this up, the NFL schedule drops this Thursday on the 11th. We will know exactly what dates that the Bears will be having their games, which primetime games they've got. Before we get into what will be a successful season, let's make a prediction of how many primetime games you think the Bears have. The Bears had three last year, if I'm not mistaken. How many do you think the Bears will have primetime game-wise?
Probably four. There's probably, especially after what Justin did, there's probably some anticipation like, we want to put Justin back on primetime and see what he can do. Probably.
I'm going to say four as well, but I think there's a chance that it could be more if the Bears pretty much jump expectations, and there could be some games towards the end of the season where they get flexed. But I'm going to say they start with four for this year. But the question is real simple. You know, everybody's like, you know, how many wins are you going to get? I don't like picking wins in May, even when the schedule comes out. People always do these schedule release shows. It's really pointless to me because we don't fucking know. You know, we don't know who's going to get injured in camp. We don't know what the final roster is going to look like. And this is not like basketball where you can just immediately guess what the starting five is going to be like. So I don't know, but I will say that this to me is more than a win number. I think if they can, you know, anywhere from 7 to 9 wins is great. But I want to see this team be in the competition for the at least the wild card. And I think
I want to see their names on In the Hunt.
In the, right, exactly. I want to see them in the hunt.
When it's
displayed. I want there to be when week 18 comes, I want there to at least be one clinch scenario for them to get seed 7. Yeah. And honestly, I don't think it's out the realm possibility for them to win the NFC North. I'm only saying that because I don't feel like this division is like, yes, the Lions should be favored 100%.
Yeah,
they're not leaps and bounds over anybody.
No,
you know what I'm saying? Except for the Packers.
I don't care what they said. That draft was terrible. They wasted their top picks on players they did not need.
That they did not need.
Now, with the running back in hindsight, it's like, well, they got rid of the person. But I don't know what was up with DeAndre Swift. Was it? They'll have to inform me. Did he want to leave? Because
he was actually shocked when he got traded.
So why would I trade him? That was just the stupidest. Why would I pick a running back? I don't need that. It could have been a contract thing.
And they said they were going to draft him at 6 too. They said they obviously they're very confident in doing. But the Bears have the third best odds in Vegas to win the North, and these odds are not like that far apart from each other. So, like you said, at the bare minimum, I just want this team to be in the hunt. I want to see consistent growth. More than anything, I want those 8 Sundays that we spend on the late front. 75% of the game is going to be cold as fuck. I want to see offense. I want to see sparks. I want to see Showtime. At the midway, Showtime. Fuck the old school monster midway. I want to see Showtime. That's what I want more than anything. So that's what my expectations are. What do you think will make a successful season?
7 wins or more. It's 4 wins more than last season. It shows you're competing more. Shows your understanding. I'm guessing they win 9 games. But yeah, I need that 7 or more.
Yeah, I agree with that. Anywhere from 7 to 9 is big. And there was a lot of games last year the Bears could have won. There was a lot of one possession games last year. So now, granted, you can't go from year to year. The NFL is a year to year league. You know, you could be great 1 year, be ass the next.
Yeah.
So that's really why I think it's going to be interesting to watch, man. But this concludes our our draft season coverage. We did at least 7 pods since the regular season has ended. You will not be hearing for us for at least 2 months.
It's nothing for me to tell you about rookie minicamp. They were rookie minicamp. Of course, I couldn't go because I have a job. But secondly, what am I going to see them hit packs?
So hilariously.
I'm going to see them hit some pads and get some, the best thing you do is interviews from them. But I have nothing to ask them. There's nothing I need to learn from them at this point. The only thing I want to see is them with the other players, and I want to see them hitting.
Yeah.
And so the best interviews I want to hear is after training camp, preseason. I don't care about anything else.
Yeah. And training camp begins in about 2.5 months. So that's pretty much when you'll hear from us.
I'm guessing I'll be at a few mini camps, a few veteran mini camps, but my concern is training camp.
When
it's hot, when you got to walk all the way to field C.
Ain't nothing like that late forest heat. It's just the late forest heat different than the city heat. I don't even know why.
I told my physical therapist, and she told me it's training camp for you now. We need to get you ready to fall that walk, and I was like, yes. I'm getting myself prepared to walk, and I'm ready for training camp.
Yeah, I'm ready for training camp too. So of course we'll do our training camp pods in August. So we're signing off from that. We hope you guys enjoyed this off-season coverage. It has been fun to do all of this stuff. You know, the Bears being right there in the center of the conversation in the football world, but it's over. It's over, folks. We got our wide receivers. We got our young guns. It's time to build on. So we're going to holler at y'all. You know, to follow us on Twitter at Barchair Scott, F Flows, and Delaney. Follow 79th and Hallis. 79th and Hallis. That's A-N-D. Hallis. Follow the Barber's Chair Net at Barber's Chair Net on Twitter and Instagram. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. Of course, we remind you before the season starts. But
visit the website.
Visit the website, thebcnet.com. But as I was going to say, when the season starts, we're going to remind you guys again. But when we have our weekly pods, we'll be dropping them right after the game if you are a Patreon subscriber. If you're not a Patreon subscriber, you'll be on there first thing Monday morning per usual. And the $5, 79th and Hallis tier is right there for you if you don't want everything else that we have on this great Patreon. So that's all we got for y'all. From Scott from Flows, y'all have a great weekend/week. And we'll holler at y'all in a couple months, man. We out.